want to give you an earnest word of welcome to our evening gospel service. We're going to begin this evening as we sing the words of this hymn of testimony. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. It's the hymn 215, and we're going to invite you to stand as we sing all of the verses together, please. Presence and blessing in the meeting tonight. Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to thee at the throne of grace and our Saviour's great name. We're thankful for the place of which we have been singing together, that place called Calvary. We want, Father, that for this time that we're spent here in your house this evening, that you'll help us even to lift our hearts and our thoughts just away from ourselves and our circumstances. We pray, Father, that with the eye of faith that you'll help us to see Calvary and to see all that took place there. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to consider him, to consider our Savior. Lord, as we're gathered in your house tonight, we would ask for a sight of Christ. We would pray, show us thyself. We want to see the Lord Jesus. We pray that we might see him tonight as we have never seen him before. Lord, we ask you to take away the blindness, take away the scales from our eyes. We need that spiritual eyesight, that spiritual insight, especially when we come to your word. Remember that the book of the Revelation talks of that heavenly eye salve. And Lord, we're praying for an anointed meeting tonight. We pray that you'll anoint us, each one, with your Spirit. We pray that you'll anoint our eyes to see into the Book of God. We want to pray that you'll anoint our lips to speak tonight of Christ and of Calvary. We pray for utterance to be given in the ministry of your word. Remember Isaiah the prophet received that special touch, the live coal from off the altar. And Lord, we would pray for such a touch upon this service and upon the preaching tonight. We thank you for the gospel message. We thank you for the good news, no better news there is to tell in this sin-darkened world of ours than the news of one that loved us and that died in our place, that bore the punishment for our sin on Calvary's cross. Lord, we want to pray that that message will again be proclaimed in great power across this land. We ask thee, Father, that you'll raise up a band of preachers, raise up an army of preachers, even as John Wesley said many years ago, that fear not God. And we pray that they'll know the anointing of the Spirit resting mightily upon them. We're conscious, Father, the greatest need of our land at this time is the gospel preached in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. We stand, Father, in great need of the outpouring of your Spirit. Remember the prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, that you would revive again your work in the midst of the years, literally that you would preserve alive your work. And Lord, we're conscious of that great need in these days of apathy. We live in a Laodicean spirit, in a Laodicean age. Lord, that lukewarmness that is all around us, we think of the diminishing there is of the work of God, the dwindling in so many areas of the testimony of Christ. And Lord, we acknowledge our need of the touch of God. We acknowledge tonight that we need the Lord to come in all the fullness of his power and all the greatness of his glory. We need thee, Father, to preserve alive the testimony of God. Remember the days of Samuel, and it was ere the lamp of God went out. The testimony of truth was burning very low, very dimly in the land. And you raised up that young man. You raised up Samuel. You made him a prophet in the land from Dan to Beersheba. And all the people of Israel knew that he was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And you let none of the things that he said fall to the ground. And Lord, we would pray that you'll give to us again in this land such a man and such men. Lord, we need a prophet in this land of ours. We need one that stands up and stands out for God, one that is not afraid, not ashamed to speak for Christ and to declare your precious word. We ask, Father, that you'll hear our cries even to that end. Remember these special times of prayer at the commencement of this week, the hours that are set aside. O God, give us blessed times around the throne of grace. Lord, we ask thee to remember us as a church at this time. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit in all its fullness upon us. Lord, we ask that there would be nothing in our own lives, nothing in the life of this church that would quench the Spirit, that would grieve the Holy Ghost, that would cause thee to withdraw your presence and your power from amongst us. Lord, we want thee to come down upon this church. We want thee to come down upon its witness and ministry. We want thee to come down, Father, upon the testimony of the gospel in this community, in all the fullness of the power and blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask thee to come and move our city. We ask thee to bring in the lost. We thank, Father, of the pews, the seats of this church. May it please thee, Father, to draw in those who are without Christ. Give them a deep concern. Lord, we ask that there will be those in our city that will be trembling as they think of their soul and their lost condition. We ask, Lord, that you would bring them into this place to hear the words of eternal life. We commit, Father, this meeting into your hands tonight. We ask for the help of God in every part. We ask, Father, that you'll be pleased to use your word tonight. We thank you for the power of the Word of God. The Apostle could say that your Word is not bound. And Lord, we want to ask that your Word tonight will have free course in this meeting of ours. We pray that the Word of God will be a blessing. We pray that the Bible will be an open book in our hands tonight. We pray that you'll show us things in the Scriptures that we've never noticed, never seen before. We're praying, Father, for your speaking voice in the house of God tonight. We remember that salvation is of the Lord, that that's a work, Father, that only thou canst do. It's the sovereign act of God by your Spirit. So we're asking thee, Father, to come down amongst us tonight in salvation blessing. Come, we ask, and awaken sinners by your Spirit. We pray that through this gospel service there might be those that are born again of the Spirit of God. Remember, Father, this congregation. Bless the families of it. We pray that you'll encourage your people. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people here, those that are diligent in their labors, in supporting the cause here, in the various departments. Lord, may everyone be encouraged. May their prayers be answered. We pray that the blessing of God will rest upon this witness and upon all your servants that labor so faithfully. We pray, that, Lord, that this might be a year when we see advancement, when we see progress, that you'll bring back some of those that haven't been here, even for some time, that you'll bring in others, send in new people, send in new families, send in the lost, Father, especially. We ask that you'll bring us into days of great soul winning. We're asking, Father, earnestly, that we might see those days upon our land and upon the ministry of the church once more, when it will not be an uncommon thing, but it will be a regular thing for men and women to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Remember those in need tonight. Remember our sister, Mrs. Watson. Ask that you might be near to her. May she be conscious of the presence of the Lord, the hand of God upon her. Remember Brother Norman as well. Strengthen your servant. Lord, we thank you for these faithful servants of thine that have supported this work so earnestly over many years. And we want to ask, Lord, remember Rodney McMurray tonight as well, and as he awaits that treatment. We pray for the Ramsey family. Lord, draw near to them as their hearts are saddened, their hearts are broken. We remember that you can do something that no other can do, that you're able to heal the brokenhearted. We're asking, Father, that you'll visit the Ramsey home just at this time. Put your hand upon them. Put your hand upon their broken hearts and grant them that healing and comforting touch just at this time. So, Father, hear our prayers and be with us now. Bless every part of this meeting, and may the Holy Ghost descend upon us in the fullness of his power. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 9, the 9th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We're going to read together the opening section. We read this morning the opening 13 verses of Genesis 13, and we're going to read together the opening 13 verses of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, the first verse. Speaking about the Savior, it says, Matthew 9, verse 1, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." Remember that's referring to Capernaum. That's where the Savior resided. He had adopted Capernaum as his home during his earthly ministry, came into his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, that's quite a sobering thought this evening. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he knows all our thoughts, even as we're gathered in his house tonight. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So we're closing our reading just there, the end of the 13th verse. And we pray the Lord will be pleased tonight to add his blessing, to follow with his blessing this, the public reading of his word. We're thankful for your presence and fellowship and support at the evening gospel service tonight. We welcome you in the Saviour's great name. We want to welcome as well those that are watching the service on the live stream. We're glad of the support of all that are listening and present with us in the gospel meeting this evening, and pray that the hand of the Lord will rest very clearly upon the meeting. Keep in mind the extra nights of prayer this incoming week, Monday night and Tuesday night, each evening from 8 to 9, here in the main church building. We encourage you to come along. We would appreciate your support. We intend to give the most of that hour to seeking the Lord at the throne of grace. And then we will have our regular midweek meeting on Wednesday night at 8, through to about 9:30, the prayer meeting and Bible study. Remember too, the bright hours, Tuesday night at 7:15 in the church here, also down at Killalea. Friday night at 8 is the youth fellowship. This Friday evening they're having a table quiz. We encourage the young people to come along. Next Lord's Day, the 27th of March, the Sunday School and Bible classes at 10:40. Morning service, 11:30. The gospel meeting at 6:30. I'll be preaching myself at the morning service. The evening time, God willing, I'll be down in Corrigarry preaching at their gospel meeting. Next Lord's Day evening, Mr. Andrew Dobbin from the Oma Church, one of the elders there, will be along to preach. His wife, Jennifer, will be along with him. She'll give a brief word of testimony in the gospel service. We generally have, in what we call normal times, have had a mother testify on Mother's Day, so our sister Jennifer will bring a short word of testimony in the service next Sunday night. So remember that, our brother and sister's visit. Plan to come along and bring others with you. Keep in mind the half hour of prayer before the evening service. Let me highlight that and emphasize to you just the importance of gathering at the throne of grace. Remember this night, 2 weeks, the parents' night for the children's bright hours. The season is quickly drawing to a close. That's Sunday night, the 3rd of April. The meeting at 6:30. The children from both meetings will be taking part, prepared a little programme for us. Plan to come along, tell others about that meeting. It's always a good opportunity to bring family and friends along to the gospel meeting to hear the word of the Lord. The offering on Wednesday night passed for every home crusade. So far that has come to £426. We thank all that have given so generously to the offering already. It is still open. So if you haven't had opportunity to contribute to it, you can still do that. See one of the treasurers or put the gift in an envelope and mark it for every home crusade and place it on the plate. Remember too, the mission boards appeal for Ukraine. The last report that we had, there was over £50,000 that has come in from our churches across the province. That's to help the churches in the Ukraine and some of the other churches, especially in Romania, that are giving support to refugees. £575 so far has come in from our own congregation. Just to stress again, if you're planning to give to that appeal at this time through the church, remember you can give on the Mission Board's website, but if you're planning to give your gift through the church, we ask you to do that by next Lord's Day. We want to send off what has come in as soon as possible. As you're only too keenly aware, as we all are, there's great needs. So we want to be able to send that money off as soon as possible. If you want or are able to give a further gift at a later time, there's no problem with that. We can send the money off then. We can send it off as it comes in. But we'd just like to send off what we have currently received by the end of this month. So please keep that in mind. Remember the Bethany Praise Service for the Portadown Independent Christian School this coming Friday night, the 25th at 8 o'clock. The Reverend McRae and some others taking part. There will be some light refreshments afterwards, and there's going to be an offering for the support of the school. We'll put the advertisement for that, God willing, up on the Facebook page during the week. The Consider Christ next Saturday, the 26th, going down to County Cavan. Keep that in your prayers. We encourage as many from the church as possible to get involved again in that outreach. Remember, the latest Watching and Waiting magazine is available at the doors of the church as you're leaving the meeting tonight. As a congregation, we want to extend our deepest sympathy to the Ramsay family. We were greatly saddened on Wednesday morning by the home calling of our brother Larry, just 63 years of age. You remember that he had been waiting on that major surgery on the lung transplant, but in recent weeks, just his health had been going down, deteriorating slowly. On Monday, at the beginning of the week, he was told that he had been taken off the list for the transplant because his health had got down so far. So that was a major blow to our brother just at the beginning of the week. His funeral services were on Friday. There was a private service in the home, followed by a service at the Tartarhan Parish Church. That was open to all, very well attended. The Lord's presence was known in both of those services, and his word went forth. We pray that it'll be the two-edged sword, bring a comfort to the family, and especially a challenge to those that are out of Christ. We do want to assure the family of our sympathy and prayers, especially Laurie's wife Jean and his two daughters, Rachel and Leah. And we do commend them as a family to the congregation for your prayers, just at this very, very difficult time for them. We're going to sing a hymn together, please, just as we come to the Word of God. Depth of mercy, can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear, and me the chief of sinners spare? Words penned by Charles Wesley. Hymn 287, we'll stand and we'll sing all the verses together, please. Let's just pray together, please. Father, we do want to pray for our neighbouring congregations round about us here especially. We think of Ballymacarney, Tully Fallon, Market Hill, Portadown, Tandragee and Auchnacloy. We lift them, Father, all before thee. Remember your servants that minister and labour there. Lord, we want to pray for others as you have exhorted us. We want to intercede, Father. Remember our Saviour ever lives to make intercession for us. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to follow his example, not just to pray for ourselves, but to pray for the needs and the works of others. Lord, pray for all these congregations in these difficult days in which we're found. May the hand of God be upon them. May your servants know help and liberty tonight in the preaching of the glorious gospel. We're mindful, Father, of the Reverend Fitzsimons as he's facing back into the pulpit ministry again. We pray that you'll be with your servant. We pray that you'll strengthen him, give him confidence, grant him encouragement. We're mindful of Dr. Wilson in this very prolonged period of illness that he has passed through. Lord, guide the doctors. We remember tonight that you are the great physician, and we pray, Father, that the doctor himself will know a touch from the great physician, that your hand would rest upon him in a very definite and powerful manner. Save us, Father, from taking our old health for granted. We thank you for the health and strength that enables us to be out and about today and in the Lord's house. We pray that we'll give, Father, the best years of our lives in the service of the Master. We pray you'll give us a greater zeal. We pray that we'll be like the Apostle, that we'll be those that spend and are spent in the service of Christ. Lord, be with us now. We pray for utterance to be given, to make known the mystery of the gospel in this service this evening. May the word of God go forth with freshness and with great power to the hearts of all that are gathered. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, and the words of verse 9. It's one of those references that's a little easier to remember. The chapter and the verse being the same. Matthew 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. The theme tonight is the conversion of the most despised man in town. Can emphasize to you, sometimes a notorious sinner is described as being beyond redemption. In other words, when people make that sort of statement, they're saying there's no hope for that person. It is believed they could never be saved, they could never be changed, and they could never be converted. Well, that's the sort of man that Matthew was. That was how he was viewed by the people in Capernaum, even the people in Israel, those many years ago. But suddenly, and even unexpectedly, the Lord stepped in and saved him, and he was converted. His life was changed. And we want to stress to you tonight at the outset of this message, the Lord can do the same for you too. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how you've lived. It doesn't matter how you're viewed by others. The most despised and the most hated man in the town of Capernaum was converted to Christ, and he became an apostle of the New Testament church. And I want you to be challenged and encouraged by that tonight. And so can you, my friend. The Lord can save you as well and raise you up to be a mighty servant of his. So let me tell you how that happened. How the most despised man in town was converted to Jesus Christ. Think first of all of the character of Matthew. The text simply says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom." Now, from those words, we learn that Matthew was a publican. Remember, when you read about a publican in the Bible, it's different from the meaning that we give to the word today. It's not referring to a man that owned a public house. The publicans in the Word of God were the tax collectors. That's clear from the verse. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. In other words, what that means is that Matthew was a man whose life centered around money. His complete attention, his complete energy, his complete ability was given over to money. And it's also evident from these few words that Matthew's chief priority was receiving money, because the verse says he sat at the receipt of custom. This is a man that was only interested in gain. He was only out for what he could get. Can I point out to you that these tax collectors were not men who were known for their honesty or for their integrity? On the contrary, they were men that were noted for corruption. They were characterized by greed. They were men who didn't care what they did as long as they got more money for themselves. You think of Zacchaeus. He too was a tax collector. In fact, Luke in his gospel says that Zacchaeus was the chief among the publicans. He was the head tax collector in Jericho, maybe the head tax collector for that whole district. And this is what Zacchaeus said after his conversion: "And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Zacchaeus is clearly revealing that before he was converted, before he had come to Christ, he too had been greedy for money. He had cheated. He had lied. He had robbed the people. He had taken money falsely by false accusation. He made them poor just to make himself richer. Do you remember whenever the publicans came to John the Baptist to be baptized? They asked John, "And what shall we do?" His reply was very revealing. John the Baptist said to them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." So what that shows us, it's clear from the scriptures, that the tax collectors were greedy men. They took more from the people than they should. They took more from them than was right. They were men whose lives was taken up with money, men whose lives was taken up with making themselves rich. And maybe you're the same. Maybe this is your character. Maybe this is your style of living. You've only one interest in life, and that interest is money. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is of any significance. Nothing else is of any importance. From you get up in the morning till you go to bed at night, you're only concerned about your business, and every thought that enters your head involves making a little bit more money. But notice something else about this man, Matthew, and the picture's getting blacker, because Matthew had sold his self-respect. Remember that the taxes that Matthew had to collect were taxes which had been placed upon the Jews by the Romans, by the Roman government. And the paying of this money by the Jews to the Romans was something that grieved them deeply. So that meant if the Romans wanted a Jew to collect this money for them from his fellow countrymen, they could only get a man to do the task who had lost all self-respect, a man that didn't care what he did to his own countrymen. The reality was, these tax collectors didn't care what others thought of them. They didn't care how others viewed them. All that mattered in their life, all that mattered to them was more money, wealth, and riches. Can I point out to you in the scriptures, the publicans, the tax collectors, they are identified with the worst of sinners. Do you remember what Luke tells us? Then drew near to hear him. Thus they were drawing near to hear Christ. All the publicans and sinners. Isn't that interesting? They drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners put together. Look also just down the chapter, to verse 11. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? So the publicans are identified with the worst of sinners. So if you think of Matthew, that's the reason why tonight we describe him as the most despised man in town. And there's something more about this man's character that we're taught here in the chapter. The opening verses of this portion record a notable miracle that was wrought. That miracle was wrought not too far away from the spot where Matthew was collecting those taxes. And our text says, as Jesus passed forth from thence, it was just as the Savior left the spot where he healed the man that had been sick of the palsy. Just as he left that spot, he came to Matthew. So it wasn't too far away. And remember that Mark's account of the healing of the man that was sick of the palsy tells us that a great crowd had gathered at the house where the Lord Jesus was. In fact, the crowd was so large that those who were carrying the man that was sick couldn't get him into the house. But despite all that excitement, despite all that unusual activity in town, despite the notable miracle that had been performed by the Savior, Matthew hadn't a thought for the Lord Jesus. He's so ensnared with money, so engrossed with making himself rich, that he never lifted his head to see what was happening around him. He never stopped to think about the Lord Jesus and what he was saying and what he was doing, or of the danger that he was facing himself of a lost eternity. Can I urge you tonight, men and women, you need to think about your soul. You need to think of your need of salvation. Paul said to Timothy, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and in perdition. The warning's clear from those words. Don't let money, don't let the love of money drag you down to a lost eternity. So that's something of the character of this man, Matthew. Notice as well the call to Matthew. Our text says, if you look again at the words, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. Let me remind you, it's an important point to note. This is Matthew's gospel. Remember, this is the book that he later wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting that this is the only mention that Matthew makes of himself in his gospel. And it's just a very brief record of how he met the Savior. You think of that. In all the 28 chapters of this book, this is the only mention that Matthew makes of himself. You just picture the scene. Matthew's sitting at his desk. He's absorbed, totally absorbed in his worldly calling. And suddenly, he hears a voice. He hears the voice of Christ saying to him, follow me. I want you to notice the simplicity of that call. He just said, follow me. What that means, men and women, is the Savior didn't address Matthew in a manner that left him confused as to the meaning of the words, or confused as to the meaning of the message. Matthew wasn't unsure about the Savior or what the Savior was inviting him to do. He didn't have to sit there for a few minutes trying to work out what the Savior meant. No, the Lord Jesus addressed Matthew simply. And let me stress to you tonight, men and women, that the Lord Jesus is still calling sinners to himself. If you're unsaved in this gospel meeting, the Lord Jesus is saying exactly the same to you. He's saying plainly and clearly to you this evening, follow me. You have followed the world, you followed sin, you followed Satan long enough. And at this very moment, the Lord Jesus is calling you. The call of the gospel, the call of Christ has been sounded in this gospel meeting. He's calling you to follow after him. Notice as well the scope of the call. Who is this call for? Well, remember, this call is made to a very sinful man. So what that teaches us is that this call is for all those who are still in their sins, all those who are still unsaved and out of Christ. A little later down the chapter, the final verse that we read, verse 13, this is what the Savior said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So I want you to notice that. If you're a sinner tonight, then this call is for you. The Lord Jesus is calling you. The passage clearly teaches us he's calling sinners to repentance. Perhaps as I've been speaking, you've been saying, I don't think the Lord Jesus would ever call me to himself. I'm too sinful, too wicked. My past is too dark. Will you just think for a moment of this man, Matthew? I have described Matthew for you, described his character, his lifestyle. He was looked upon as one of the most sinful men in the town of Capernaum, even in all of Israel. But remember, men and women, that the Lord Jesus called him to salvation. So what an encouragement that fact is this evening. In this verse, the Lord Jesus said to a sinful man, to sinful Matthew, follow me. And the Savior's making that same call, that same exhortation again this evening. To everyone, here's the scope of it, to everyone in this meeting who is unsaved and still in their sins. He's saying to you tonight that he wants you to follow him. But you will ask me, what does it mean to follow Christ? What is involved in following Christ? Well, that's a very important, a very good question. Look again at verse 13. It declares, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Notice carefully, the Lord is calling you to repentance. So if you're going to follow Christ, then what you need to do tonight is repent. You need to repent of your sins. Repentance is not just being sorry for your sins. What it means is, it means much more. It also involves turning away and forsaking your sins completely. And that's what Matthew had to do. He had to turn away that night from his sins so as to follow Christ. And men and women, you must do the same. You too must turn away from the sin that you have loved for so long. And as you turn away from that sin, then you need to travel in an entirely different direction. Turn off the broad road to destruction, and you need to turn on to the narrow road that leadeth unto life. And let me emphasize that repentance is not optional. This is something, men and women, that is essential to your salvation. You cannot be saved without repenting, turning from your sins. The Lord Jesus warned of that during his earthly ministry. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You need to repent, men and women, if you hope to be saved and if you hope to experience the forgiveness of all of your sins. Think as well of the significance of the call. Isn't it true in your lifetime you will receive many calls? But none of them, men and women, will be more significant. None of them will be more important than this one. Because remember, this is the call to salvation. This is the call to Christ. This is the call to eternal life. Your response to this call will seal your eternal destiny for heaven or for hell. And what we want to do tonight is to plead with you to heed the call of Christ as it comes to your heart this evening. We want to urge you to heed that call. Have done with your sins. Those sins that have enslaved you for so long. And we want to urge you to start on a new pathway tonight, following after Christ. A pathway that will lead you to heaven and a pathway that will lead you to home. There's one other thing I want to say a little about. That's the conduct of Matthew. Let me show you how Matthew conducted himself whenever the Lord called him that day. Notice how he conducted himself with regards to salvation. The verse says, our text, and he arose and followed Christ. What happened, men, was Matthew got saved that day. He followed Christ. And notice that he followed Christ at once. He didn't wait, not even for a moment. He didn't make an excuse of any kind. He didn't say, here's a number of people and they're here to pay their taxes. Just give me a few minutes. Let me take their money first and then I'll follow after you. No, Matthew followed Christ immediately. Isn't it true that there are many people who hear the Lord Jesus speaking to them, hear the Lord Jesus calling them to salvation, calling them to repentance, but sadly they put something of a far lesser value before getting saved? There are many people who hear the word of God, hear the Savior tenderly calling them, but they put off getting saved until some other time. But you know, the solemn truth is that many who put off getting saved until tomorrow, they never get saved at all. You think of Felix. Felix heard the word of God. Felix heard the gospel preached in great power by the Apostle Paul. The scriptures tell us in Acts 24, and as he, that is, as Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Here's a man who was under deep conviction of sins. He knows that he needs to be saved. But listen to his response to Paul that day. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So Felix procrastinated. He put off getting saved. But you know, men and women, there's no record. There's no record that he ever came to Jesus Christ in salvation. What a warning that is. By contrast, Matthew didn't wait even to enter another figure, another amount on the page. He got saved right away. And that's what we want to urge you to do tonight in this gospel service. We want to urge you to do the same. Matthew got things settled for eternity, immediately. He did it that very moment. He did it that very day. And you need to do the same. Remember the warning of the word of God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You can't be sure that you'll still be alive tomorrow. And that's the reason, men and women, why it's urgent that you get saved this very day. The scriptures very plainly teach that we're not to put off getting saved until tomorrow. Think of Paul's words to the Corinthians. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Think of those words. Now is the day. The right time to come to Christ is today, not tomorrow. And we want to exhort you, men and women, to do that. Come to Jesus Christ immediately. Come this day. Come ere you leave the house of God this evening. So that's a little about his conduct with regard to salvation. Notice also how he conducted himself regarding service. If you look at verse 10 of the chapter, the verse after our text, it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. What you learn here and in the verses that follow is that after the conversion of Matthew, The Saviour's found at a feast. And he's found at a feast with many other publicans, many other tax collectors. Luke tells us something that Matthew doesn't disclose. That's why it's good to compare the gospel records. Luke tells us that this feast was held in Matthew's own house. And what that teaches us is this, that no sooner was Matthew saved than he was seeking to do what he could for the Master, seeking to do what he could for the spread of the gospel. He dedicated his home, no doubt with the money that he had. He had quite a large residence. So he dedicated that home to the Lord. And then he organized a meal. And he invited to that meal all the tax collectors that he'd once worked with, all his friends and colleagues. He invited them to come to that meal, and he invited the Savior to come as well. And his desire was this. His desire was that his friends would hear the gospel. His desire was that his friends and his former colleagues would come to know Christ, just as he had come to know the Savior. So Matthew was completely changed. He was completely finished with laying up treasure on earth, and his priority now, as the Savior said in the Sermon on the Mount, was laying up treasure in heaven. The Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, here's the evidence of salvation in his life. Here's a man who had been completely transformed by the mighty power of the gospel. Can I point out to you, Matthew had two names. That was a common thing in Israel in those days. Remember Simon Peter, John Mark, and so on. Matthew had two names. His other name was Levi, just the same as the Old Testament tribe. This is what Luke records about this event. After these things, he went forth, that's the Savior, went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. That's the same man. That's the same story. Only Luke uses his other name or his second name. I encourage you to keep that in mind as you read Mark and Luke's account of these events. And that will help you. It will help you understand who they're actually writing about or who you're actually reading about. But think of that name, Matthew. It means gift of Jehovah. And that certainly sums up this man's conversion. This notorious sinner became Jehovah's gift not just to the New Testament church, but you think through the gospel that he has written, he became Jehovah's gift to the church for all time still to come. And maybe, men and women, the Lord wants to change your life. Maybe he wants to make you a gift to the church, a gift to bless the church, and maybe even a gift to bless the world. I wonder, will you let him do that this evening in this gospel service? Will you come to Jesus Christ for salvation? The conversion of the most despised man in town. Let me tell you just this story briefly as I finish. Stuart Hamlin was a radio personality way back in the 1940s. He got saved. After he got converted, he was witnessing one day to the very famous movie star John Wayne. As a result of that conversation, Stuart Hamlin wrote a very famous hymn. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. And I want to stress that great truth as I close tonight. The great change that took place in Matthew's life, the great change that took place in Stuart Hamlin's life, and in the lives of a multitude of others, that can be done in your life as well. The Lord can do it. There's not a doubt about it. He can do it if you will come to him, if you will come to Jesus Christ for salvation. So let me plead with you to respond to this gospel message this evening in exactly the same manner that Matthew did when he heard the call of Christ those many years ago. Let me urge you to follow him today and get saved immediately, and from this day, seek to do what you can in the Master's service. So remember, this is Matthew's Gospel. And this ninth verse in all the 28 chapters is the only reference that he makes to himself. He tells you how he met the Savior. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew. Luke calls him, or uses his other name, Levi. A man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. May you tonight turn from your sins and become a follower of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a few verses, 225. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? The hymn 225, the first two verses, think of the words of the chorus. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. So 225, just those first two verses and we'll stand to sing, please. Just pray together. Father, we ask thee to take your word tonight and use it. We pray for the speaking voice of God to continue on. We pray the Spirit will come and apply this word to hearts in this gathering, hearts that have heard the message even over the internet. We pray, Father, that you will strive in the hearts of men and women. We pray that even like Felix, there might be some who will tremble as a result of the preaching of your precious word. Remember the words of the chorus we often sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. We pray, Father, that there might be some in this gathering that will make that decision by your grace, by the power of your Spirit tonight, decide to turn from their sins, to trust Christ, and to follow after him with all their heart and with all their soul. Lord, we ask thee to go with us. We need your presence through this week in the varying things that we have to do. We commit the week into your hands, especially the extra seasons of prayer. Make them a blessing. Lord, we ask that even before those seasons begin tomorrow night, that you'll answer prayer for us as a church to encourage our hearts. We pray for a token for good at the very beginning of this week as we will assemble around your feet. Lord, answer prayer for this church and bless the witness of the gospel in this house. And Lord, even as you converted and changed the life of the most notorious sinner, the most despised man in Capernaum. We pray you might do the same in our Mass tonight. You're the same God. We know that the gospel has the same power, the power of God, the salvation. Lord, come and do it. In this city we ask of thee. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. For Jesus' sake, amen.